Maurice Rivers?
Present.
Yay. And John Winston?
Here.
Okay, so, so the first thing, so, so Maurice, you were here last month, right?
I was.
Yeah, so I'm gonna officially welcome you since I got to see you virtually through the telephone. So glad to have you on board and excited to have your leadership.
Thank you.
So in the land of, we're gonna go to approval of the minutes. So we're gonna approve the December minutes first. Does anybody have any comments? Now, the December minutes are, just for the record, so everyone knows, there was a comment at the last meeting made by Chris Coughlin from the Sunnyside neighborhood that his comments were not included. And in fact, he was not present at the December meeting, but in fact, he was at the November meeting and his minute, and his comments were included in the November minutes if you wanna take a look at it. So I wanna thank Philip for going back and listening to the entire 3 hours of the tape to make sure, two hours, and making sure that we found out when he felt, probably felt longer because who wants to listen to a tape of this meeting, right? Thank you. More than three times, yeah. So, just to clarify, when Chris's comments were made. So with that, does anybody have any comments for the December meeting? Public comment, are there any comments for the December minutes? No? Okay, so, can we get a motion to approve? Moved by John, second.
Seconded.
By Howard, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, great. Okay, so now let's move to the February meeting minutes. Does anybody have any comments from the CAP? Any edits? Okay, we'll open up to public comment. I think we got a couple.
Good evening, Aaron Goodman. I noted two items. One was on page 7 of 10, item 12, where I was speaking. I did mention...
Give us a second, okay.
Yep. It seemed like some of the comments were shortened and abbreviated, which means it doesn't, in essence, capture what we were stating clearly.
Okay.
And so the issue that we were pointing out was that, first of all, that there was, it says here, it is one thing to prepare conceptual infrastructure, and I had stated something more clearly about SFSU and Parker said that their project did not connect to Daly City BART, which was the key linchpin component. The other thing was that a shared, there was a possibility of shared costs with BART with doing an east side parking structure. That would be something that actually could be positive for both BART and City College. And it says on in the area, I actually was talking about six different developments on the east side of the Balboa Park Station. There's about six, I think, if I recall, large scale developments that are occurring in the east side of the station. So I think it's key and critical to understand that with TDM. And then lastly on the last portion under general public comment.
What page on?
Page 10 of 10, it's italic 4A2. What I was stating there, it says incorrectly, bike lane something, sometimes work great around Lake Wilmerding, bikes go too fast out of Phelan. I was talking about bikes and cars and the fact that there was no EIR with the bike lane changes. So that's made that a very difficult area and a very hazardous area for bikes and cars and pedestrians. And with Lake Wilmerding's construction coming up, I said it was going to be a much more difficult area. So we thought it was important to outline that, make sure your Lake Wilmerding school is involved in wherever their drop zones are and where the construction vehicles are, because it's going to get very hazardous very quickly. And we said that we could have a better connection to the ramp and entry to the Balboa Park Station if City College is looking at how to connect properly over the freeway or through a pedestrian walkway or above grade crossover, and because they're doing construction on that side also.
Hi, Christine Hansen. So there were some things that I said that didn't quite make it into the minutes. Under the sentence that said the city.
Can you tell us which page, please?
Sure, so sorry. Page 6. Okay. So where it says the city's presentation is based on problem data After the planning department collected data on May 10th and 11th of 2016, I also said representing average parking usage. And then the sentence, let me know if you want to do that. Okay, the sentence that said final started on May 20th, 2016, I also said so the data was collected at the end of the semester. And then the sentence which said data collected in the evening, I said completely omits evening classes. I like that word in there. And then I also said the CAC principles and parameters leaves the idea of shared parking up to the experts even after multiple comments about a possible conflict with the needs of students attending evening classes. And then I don't know if I'm able to, Jeremy made some comments in the minutes. I don't know that I'm able to address, I had a question actually about that.
I think I'm going to address some of your comments from last time.
Okay.
So maybe that'll clarify, and if not, then I would encourage you to come back to public comment in a minute or talk to me afterwards.
Okay, yeah. These were, my comments were specific to the TDM,
yep.
And the TDM reflects only data from May.
Yeah.
So, okay.
So I'll clarify.
You did see that we included that email when you sent it.
Yeah, I just wanted to
make
sure. Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks. Okay, so Bridget.
I just happened to notice one that.
What page?
On page 6, number 7, Theodore in the Excelsior. I don't know if he's here, but I think he meant collision and not collusions, if I recall. Normally, I wouldn't expect us to confuse those words, but sometimes things are contentious.
Okay. So can we get a move to a motion to approve with the edits?
So moved.
Thank you, Robert. Second?
Second.
Second by John. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
So thank you. Thanks, everybody. Thanks for your feedback and for carefully looking at the minutes. This is an important record for this process. So now we're going to move into just a couple of moves. I've got to get my papers in over here. Tonight, Tom was at the last meeting, but we just want to clarify that that Tom is going to be taking over for Philip. We will be losing Philip. He's transitioning out. We're very sad. And that Tom will be taking over. We have very big shoes and fingers for typing to fill for his role in doing the minutes. And one of the things that's also going to be happening as we move into this next phase is we have been doing kind of a line item by line item transcript of the meetings, and we're going to be shifting now into being summary notes instead, because as we move to this next piece, it's going to be more important to be more succinct, and we'll still have the chance for you to give feedback to it, but it's not going to be a line by line item transcript.
And we'll still have the recording.
And the recording will still be available. Yeah, great. And then. Two things I just wanted to offer up, which one is that the Performing Arts and Educational Center is coming back up for consideration. So I just want to make a note that as we move forward with the CAC that we need, and Bridget, kind of looking to you and to Linda to figure out if that does come down the pike and it actually gets the, it's got a chunk of funding that it still needs to acquire pretty significantly. So,
about the resolution?
Yeah. But I'm just saying we need to probably put that back on the, take it off the back burner, put it on the front burner, because as we continue moving forward, that's going to be really important. And then the other thing is, I got a thing in the mail, in the email today about giving feedback to the Balboa station plan. There's going to be a public comment session coming up. I don't have it on me. Does anybody in the audience? Is anybody aware of it? It's a chance to do public comment. It's coming up. I'll get it, but it's coming up. So we'll post it on the site as well, because it's helpful to have. And Jeremy, let's go to the TDM responses.
Sure. Oh, I guess I need a mic.
Jerry, put this over the wall.
I need a mic.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for coming out on a beautiful day. I will try to be succinct, but I'm happy to answer clarifying questions. So last time, we spoke at length about the TDM framework, which is what it's called now, the TDM framework. And
there were a lot of comments at the end, which are in the minutes. I wanted to just specifically address some of the questions, and I had four questions and one kind of request slash question. I'll just get right to it. One of the questions was RP was sort of reflecting on RPP and its sort of limited impact on. How's that?
That's perfect.
Okay. There was a question about the efficacy of RPP in helping parking availability in the neighborhood, the residential parking permit program is RPP, and I think generally there's a couple things going on. The SF Park program has looked at a number of mostly metered areas and concluded a number of things, but I think the general takeaway is that parking pricing does affect people's habits. So I think there's a general premise that goes into most of the planning, that pricing makes a difference. And so it's fair to say that RPP does have some effect, perhaps not always making parking available right in front of your house, or maybe you still have to circle. So it's not a panacea to those kinds of problems. It doesn't purport to be. But that is a sort of baseline assumption. But I think what will be added, or as part of the framework recommendations, is to expand RPP where feasible and where the neighbors propose it in the areas, but also not include, and especially if it's done now, the future reservoir residents wouldn't be included in that RPP because there are no residents today. And so so that is a way to manage some of the surrounding parking without facing the impact of future car owners on the reservoir site. So it's kind of added later to the efficacy of RPP in this neighborhood specifically. And then the final response I guess I would have is sort of a let's wait and see. At the end of last year, MTA finished a really long extensive outreach and process around reforming RPP as a 40-year-old program. And there were a lot of measures proposed or considerations for reforming it. And so I can't speak for the MTA. I don't think there's a path forward at the moment, but I think there's a lot of options for exploring an improvement on the program. So let's stay tuned. I think the framework has a good sort of recommendation for moving forward, but it's not the ultimate, it's not the end all. Like, we will continue the conversation. Another question was related to asking about, can you just remove parking on Phelan? I actually don't remember the context. I think it was just about making it safer and allowing for more traffic to come through. I think the short answer is that if that was about safety, around pedestrian and bike safety or reducing congestion, those are definitely priorities that the city is looking at. We want to make, like, MTA's number one priority is safety. But as we've discovered in conversations in this CAC and the other one, there are a lot of other big issues that we need to challenges we need to address at the moment. And so removing parking on Phelan probably doesn't rank high on the priority list at the moment. And it also, it's this balancing act where some folks in the neighborhoods want more parking. Does removing parking on Phelan help address their needs as well? Maybe or maybe not. But because there's so many safety, congestion, transit access, Ocean Avenue related issues, those are kind of a higher priority at the moment. But I will say that in our work with City College, I don't know if anyone's present, it is a priority of theirs to make sure the two sides of Phelan are stitched together in a way that is safe and inviting for students who are going from the east and west side of Phelan. And that is something we recognize and we're working on with them on an ongoing basis. Another question, I guess this isn't as succinct as I thought it would be, but is it making sense? Okay. Another question was about shuttles. I think we went around with the consultants on this issue because it was part of a first and last mile kind of recommendation, which is meant to connect that first or last mile is that piece between Between your place of work and the transit station, or between your home and the transit station, like, it might be easy to take BART, but there might be that quarter mile or half a mile walk to BART that is a real impediment. And we've discussed that Ocean Avenue is a first or last mile problem here. And so the study kind of wraps up a lot of issues around Ocean Avenue in kind of one category to address this first and last mile issue. I think the shuttle in particular, the technology in particular, is something that MTA would have to approve and would require a financial feasibility analysis. And part of that analysis is that it's not redundant with existing buses or existing transit service. The TDM framework that we discussed last time, it's a consultant recommendation. It's not published yet, but their current recommendation is that shuttle probably won't pass the financial feasibility analysis. So it's not a top recommendation, but this general category of first or last mile improvements is. And another example of that is a nighttime escort, either a golf cart or a car that helps people who don't feel safe around Ocean Avenue get to BART. A major first last mile recommendation is fixing the safety and pedestrian access along Ocean Avenue, as we've discussed. So there are a number of things that we hope can get at those issues in a broader way, but it doesn't close the door to a shuttle or to a van pool or a variation on that. And if City College opts to pursue something like that, there's nothing that says they can't. But that's kind of where the consultant recommendation stands for now on the shuttle issue. And then Chris's issue, questions around the data. It's my last sort of response tonight. So a couple clarifications. In May, you might recall, I don't remember who it was, but there were a lot of folks who were concerned about the data collection. And the May data was one of the final weeks of regular class schedule, I think a week or two before finals. But it was recognized that that's one data point. It would be better to get more. So we came back in September. We worked with City College to collect more data. There was a couple days of data from parking in the neighborhood, collected around the neighborhoods, and City College collected even more detailed parking data on August, I believe it was 17th, so during the registration period, which, as they told us, that's the peak, that's the crush load when we really when we can understand the maximum demand. And maybe this semester or next semester will be higher, but at the moment that we have this consultancy and this project going on, that was the best we could do, and it was more than we had planned for. So what we hoped was that it would provide a fair bookend, because it was during the registration period, and we could compare it to May, and then could also compare it to the nighttime data. We totally recognize that the nighttime data was not collected during evening classes. That's, yes. The point of the nighttime data was to provide a baseline or sort of counterpoint so that we could compare what parking looked like in the daytime to what parking looked like in the nighttime. And that goes for City College, but it's also really pertinent to the parking in the neighborhoods around it, what is parking in nighttime. So we can have apples to apples. We've collected data from 10 p.m. to 12 at night. But I think the larger point around data in the framework is that it's a place to start. It's not a plan. It has consultant recommendations for City College, the Reservoir, and the city to go forward with, but it doesn't say we shall do this, and it doesn't have a strategy or timeline or funding. It recommends funding, but it doesn't say this is where your funding is coming from. This is where we start the conversation, and it's helped get City College and the city and the Reservoir team on the same page so that we can tackle this issue in a coordinated way. And it's just the start. So I think it doesn't foreclose on the collection of future data, which everyone recognizes the City College situation is changing. And ideally there will be an opportunity to collect more data. The last thing I'll say on that is that for the ongoing success or implementation of any TDM, monitoring is critical, it's elemental, it's assumed. It just doesn't work if you don't have a regular ongoing monitoring plan. And so that's baked into it. So if something doesn't, let's say you have a TDM plan that goes into effect, it's not, the first semester it's out, you need to collect data. If something's not working, then you tweak based on what the data tell you. So so it's just the beginning is kind of the short answer. It's kind of, yeah.
Good. Does any questions from my colleagues?
So, Jeremy, I just want to hear confirmation based on the comments you heard on the data that have been collected, the data that's been added. Are you saying now that you feel that we have a good cross-representation of the data as it applies to move forward from here?
Yeah, I think it's good. It's a framework. It has recommendations. It doesn't have specific proposals. So at the moment that there is a proposal on the table for whatever it may be around a parking garage or parking management or parking pricing, when we get down into numbers, then we might need more data. And at that point, it's expected that whatever data is needed would be collected.
Okay. I mean, one of the beauties of having these hearings is having folks come up and say, you know, there's a potential gap here, as it's been addressed. We had some comment, and I just wanted to make sure that, in your view, this has now been addressed in terms of being able to move forward, and we got a good baseline.
Yeah, and the consultants agree.
Okay.
Attach this.
Yeah, I had a question about the shuttle. It seemed like that was very popular last time, and it did seem like a really good solution to the first mile, last mile issue. But if it's not financially feasible to run a shuttle, but you said something about golf carts, what about a golf cart shuttle?
That will be in the recommendations.
Okay.
Jeremy, on that same point that Bridget raised, financial feasibility, is that the MTA who first looks at redundancy and then second looks to see whether it's cost effective? And is that something we could ask the developers for to give a subsidy towards the cost of the shuttle?
The MTA approves any shuttle. I can't speak for the MTA, but I don't know how the process works. Where if it were a city-funded shuttle, I mean, there's a lot of competing demands for transportation funds right now, and I don't think the shuttle is on a list somewhere. So I don't know what the process. I can't speak for the MTA. I don't know what the process would be to get that into their transit plans. So, but one way or another, whether it's provided by the MTA or provided by somebody else, that duplication analysis would need to be done before it's approved.
I think even Supervisor Yee liked that idea.
Yeah.
I actually am really disappointed to hear that. I think we have to figure out ways to do things on this site different than how just following the standard. And Jeremy, you know, I support what you do 100%. You know, we need to get the SFMTA at the table and say, this is ridiculous. We're going to build here. We're going to make more congestion. We have to think outside the box. And if we continue to do things following traditional bureaucratic processes, it's going to be an even worse situation. And frankly, I think you'll have people say, we don't want anything built here. Because I will tell you that we cannot do this if we can't figure out the transportation piece and the congestion. I got stuck in it the other day at an odd hour, and it took me 25 minutes to go from the front of City College to the corner of Phelan. 25 minutes, and it was a weird time. It wasn't like rush hour. So we have got to figure this out. I think, I don't know, is Jen here yet, or is Supervisor Yee here? I think we need to raise this through the process of going through the supervisor to say, we need an alternate strategy. I think it's disingenuous to say that it's redundant systems, because it's not redundant. In their mind, it's redundant, but in our mind, a shuttle that's going very quickly is a very different form of transportation that's going to alleviate congestion. And so I hear you coming back with saying, based upon, you know, this is how things are done, And I actually think this is a project that requires us to think outside of the box, and we need to encourage the MTA to come to the table and problem solve with us around this and not stick strictly to this is how we do it, and there's competing demands. Because there's competing demands everywhere, and this is the only 17-acre parcel that we're building on, that we're gonna build housing on. So I'm sorry that Supervisor Hughes isn't here, but I will certainly bring it up with him.
I would just add, in your future comments, if we could put more more precision on who or where the shuttles should serve,
yeah,
that would be helpful.
Yeah.
That's what I was gonna address. I was gonna say that the shuttle does not duplicate what Muni does if it's going to be circulating through the campus,
yeah,
and through this, the reservoir and through the future child care and all these areas that the 43 doesn't do. The 43 has three stops around the campus. This would have many more, I think.
Yeah, I think that is really helpful.
Is there a funding issue? Because I think we can
that's
a big issue. Work on, I'm sure.
Of course it's a big issue.
If we're gonna get rid of all this parking, we have to find a bit of people without cars. I think just saying that,
yes,
it'll come up again, I'm sure.
Yeah. So thank you, Jeremy. Thank you. So I guess now we want to open it up to public comment. Come on up.
Is that what happened?
We have to go public.
I didn't know.
Yeah. Aaron Goodman, I just wanted to mention, I had asked prior about looking at the SFSU TDM in regards to this, because it's key to look at it in regards to a precedent. They had a campus shuttle, they cut it back. Park Merced had a shuttle service provided, or offering a shuttle service. Who knows how that's going to be effective or not. And we mentioned prior that the Geneva-Harney line, which is going to be a BRT that's going to loop around the Balboa Park Station, is going to cause a difficulty as well. You can't just expect a lot of, you know, little shuttle buses or jitney buses, whatever they call them, to be circling around the site when you're already in heavy congestion and stop traffic. So I think Lisa mentioned that it is a chance that we can actually step outside the box thinking-wise in how do we address a solution here with the SFMTA, with BART, with all the parties involved, and actually come up with something more solid. And when you look and you take the image of the Google map and just enlarge it and look at little curves, little sketch lines of where you can actually route a pedestrian bike routing that directly connects. How would we directly connect? Is there an alternative or an option that we're actually including in this whole project and process for either the City College development or the Balboa Reservoir that's actually going to adequately solve these issues? And I think that's where we can have a more inventive or a positive solution by the city. If we have to nix the pedestrian bridge or have to come up with something else that actually is going to solve this. So I hope we look at that in a little bit more careful detail.
Okay, everybody, I would like to reinforce Lisa's comments. I also believe that, is it possible that in thinking out of the box, we're thinking of a shuttle, but can it also be an expanded jitney program as was announced today in the paper? Because this is not replacing a Muni line, it's adding to. And so we need to also, as far as revenue is concerned, or possible expenses to MTA, could there be other alternatives that would zero out that expense?
My name's Rita Evans, and I just want to reiterate the comments about the shuttle. You know, I've been involved in this process since its inception, and one of the things that I run into in talking to neighbors about this is an issue of trust. And I have to say, it's very disheartening at this point in the process that a recommendation like this that we've brought up repeatedly throughout the process is being dispensed with by the consultants on a cost issue without even looking into the issue of whether it could be developer funded. So I really hope, for a number of different reasons, logistical, this issue of like responding to neighborhood needs here, that this can be revisited. I'd also like to request, I made public comments at the last meeting in regard to this, and my truncated comments are in the minutes, but I submitted written comments as well. And I'd like to request that those and any other written comments that were submitted also be appended to the minutes from last month's meeting. I'm also very, very disheartened to hear that that once again, the residential parking permit program, which depends on residents to go and collect signatures, to pay for the permits, that once again, the burden of this development is it's being asked, the neighbors, the residents who already live here are being asked to bear that in what I believe is a very unfair manner. Thank you.
Okay, so the TDM report, Christine Hansen, the TDM report written by Nelson Nygaard, the title of it is Existing Conditions, Final.
That's just the existing conditions piece. That's not, sorry to interrupt.
Okay, that's all right.
It's just the data collecting. So the recommendations is forthcoming. It's not the...
Okay, so where will this all, because basically I'm not seeing in the Nelson Nygaard TDM, which I'm assuming you're going to go forward with, the data from August or September that would include a peak parking usage.
Why don't you finish your comment and then Jeremy can respond to everything.
Okay.
Sorry, what did you say, Emily? I asked if Christine could finish her whole comment and then Jeremy could respond to everything after that.
Okay, I would just like to, I mean, you guys are planning to remove an existing usage. So I think being as accurate in the data that's being applied as you go forward is really, really important. Right now, looking at the TDM as written, it's very worrisome because it doesn't reflect actual usage the way it happens. I mean, not when... It's dead week, so I mean it's 80% full in the parking lots when it's peak. So and then I just kind of want to point out that SFPUC promised City College shuttles for Evans campus 5 years ago, and the people in Hunters Point made public comment year after year after year, and the shuttles never came.
Thank you for the comments. And Jeremy, you want to respond?
It might be good if we chatted a little afterwards, but I think the core, so just to clarify, in October, Nelson Nygaard finished what was one kind of piece of the bigger project, the existing conditions, and that's what Chris was calling final. So it was just data collection.
This is the title of it.
Right.
And if you look at it, that's what it says.
So
I can see where.
So, but I just want to clarify. So that's not the end of their project. It's just the end of that like chapter, and then what's forthcoming is a sort of more expansive version of the tables that they presented at the last meeting. There were three matrices, three lists: one for City College, one for Reservoir, one for the neighborhoods. That is sort of the core list of recommendations, and so what's forthcoming is a more robust report around each, you know, explaining each of those recommendations, going through precedents, and talking about how they can apply to the neighborhood or City College or the rest of it. So that's forthcoming. It's possible that the data that from August or September is in the appendix. It's not explicitly mentioned in the report. I have to double check, but it was taken into account because we delayed the issuance of the existing conditions report to October so that we can make sure the August and September data were in there. But I can check. It might not be very. There might be something we could clarify better in the report or the PDF file itself. We can chat after.
You know, I forgot to ask, but what time do we need to take the break tonight? Can we put it in the agenda?
I'm not sure it's in the agenda. Yeah. I think we could take it, if we don't take it now, we'd have to take it in the middle of the main item, which we could do, like in between segments.
We'll begin the presentation and get ourselves through a bit, and then we'll maybe when it goes to public comment or maybe make a sorry, I forgot to ask that at the beginning of the meeting. Want to make sure we take care of our very important person who's getting every word we say ever so accurately. Great. So before we begin this next item, I want to just give a little bit of context for it. So as you may recall, when we had the one meeting that we had that was not at this building, when we were at Reardon High School, we actually did a process where we actually asked for the collective feedback to evaluate what people thought worked well with the CAC to date and what were the challenges or things that we could do a better job around. And one of the big items that came up was the idea that the people that come to the meetings are diehard, committed, you know, amazing residents that are here, and we aren't hearing from as large of the community as possible. And particularly for my neighborhood, I'm looking at Rita and I'm looking at Jennifer, just the notion of how we are doing outreach to the community. We say, you know, these meetings are happening now, nobody really cares, but when the buildings are built and things are done, they're going to come to us and say, how did you let this happen, right? Because that's when people are going to notice it. So it's very hard to get people on the front end of things. So what we wanted to do is we wanted to do two things tonight. First off is we wanted to talk about the selection of the three finalists, the developer request for proposal, the RFP process, and talk a little bit about how community is going to be giving input into that process. And also as a part of the conversation, we want to make sure that there are ways that we know that we need to be connecting with a larger community that is going to be impacted by this beyond the constituents that were here. You know, Christine, I think a little bit about, like, how do we do a better job in connecting with all the schools, right? So that we do really good outreach for the schools, because it's going to be important, because, you know, it may not be today's kindergarten, maybe today's kindergarten parent might feel this somewhat when their child is in fifth grade at Sunnyside Elementary School, or maybe not. Or maybe today's kindergartner will be a senior at Wilmerdine by the time the project is done. So, but the notion is how do we actually engage people in something before we really have anything? That we're still in this very early planning stages and get people to understand the project and be able to weigh in on it. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Emily, and she's going to take us through a framework, and then we'll get a chance. And tonight, we asked two questions in the agenda to be really clear of, in particular, where we wanted your feedback of ways to engage more people to be a part of the process, because the selection of the developer, which will be done by a committee, which will be the same committee that we used to select the three finalists from the RFQ, and we want to make sure that we have good community input as a part of that process. Thank you.
All right, terrific. I'm Emily Less with the Office of Economic and Workforce Development. And Jeremy and I are kind of going to split this presentation. We're working together to plan this big upcoming meeting. So I'm going to start with the context and just give an overview and a reminder of the developer selection process, where we've been so far and what the next steps are. And then we'll do a deep dive into preparing for the upcoming community meeting where the development proposals will be presented. So just as a reminder, there are kind of three big phases of the selection process. The first one is complete. It's the process of coming up with the development parameters, which we did here over the course of 16 meetings. And then we took those and we included them in a request for qualifications to find out which developers would be interested and then narrow that group down into a top three of the most qualified developers who are then invited to actually submit more comprehensive proposals as part of a request for proposals process. The URL for the developer selection process is at the bottom of this page. If you haven't been there, we link to it from the CAC site, but it's hosted on the SFPUC website since it's their land that is being offered for this development partnership. So backing up to the RFQ process, it was issued in November. The responses were due in January, and the selection panelists reviewed them, discussed them, and scored them, and then shared their scores and their rankings with the SFPUC for the general manager to review, and he endorsed their ranking and selection kind of as recommended, which allowed us to announce the RFQ results last week. And so I think those of you who are on our mailing list have already seen this, but just to quickly review, the three teams, each one of the teams was a partnership between multiple development organizations and between a combination of market rate housing developers and affordable housing developers. So the first one, I'm just reading them in alphabetical order, was a partnership between Avalon Bay and Bridge Housing, along with Mission Housing, Pacific Union Development Company, and Habitat for Humanity. Second one was a partnership between Emerald Fund and Mercy Housing. And the third one was a partnership between related companies, Saris Regis, Curtis Development, and Tenderloin Neighborhood Development Corporation. We have posted the experience information that actually all nine of our interested developers submitted on this same website, the RFQ RFP website, and so you can go and all of these companies and organizations have great web presences already, but to get kind of an overview of what the panelists saw, that's available online. So the next step is for those three teams to get going, get their hands dirty on really thinking about what to propose for the site. On March 9th, in addition to releasing the RFQ results, we issued the RFP, which were kind of the instructions for the proposals. We're giving them about 3 months to put responses together. And then once those responses have been collected, we're going to ask them to come in front of the community and present their proposals, which will give people a chance to comment, members of the public a chance to comment and provide feedback on what their reaction, what your reactions are, what you like, what you don't like, what you would want to see maybe different if a particular developer ultimately was selected. And we'll also post them online and accept written feedback. We'll ask the developers to then submit written responses to all of the feedback that they hear. And those written responses, as well as kind of the whole, all of the feedback is going to be given to the evaluation panel and taken into account as they review the three proposals. We're hoping that can happen in July, and the panel will have its recommendations ready to recommend to the SFPUC Commission by the end of the summer. And the SFPUC Commission needs to ultimately endorse the panel's recommendation. So we're going to focus tonight a little bit more on the RFP itself and the public presentation that we're in the process of planning. So in terms of what is in that RFP, the whole thing in its entirety can be downloaded on the website, and really it outlines two kind of big sets of requirements for what these development teams need to submit. The first one, which is really going to be the focus of our community review, is going to be the proposal. So a written description, not just of generally what they're proposing, but we're asking them to like very specifically explain how the proposal is responding to the development parameters. And we're also asking for a pretty specific set of graphics, of drawings, kind of starting to visualize what the actual like form of this proposal would be like. And then we're also asking for a financing plan, how the teams envision pulling all of the money together that's needed to actually get this done. And we want to hear about kind of what their sources are and have evidence that they really can access those sources, and also see how they're like actually looking at the math of how they're thinking about costs and revenues and funding sources, because we want to make sure that they really understand how that all works for a project of this scale and of this complexity. The scoring criteria kind of mirror those two sets of submittals. One is around the proposal and whether it incorporates the development parameters and to what extent it does, the site design and the character, and then all of the kind of less tangible but still really important things that are needed for it to succeed. So what the approach to engaging the community and other stakeholders is going to be, how they understand the process of working with the city and all of the hoops that we make projects like this jump through, how they're thinking about project schedule, how they're thinking about actually making this new place work once it's all built. So kind of long-term thinking about operations. And then also on the financial side, it's really whether SFPUC will be able to receive fair market value, because we know that's a requirement in their charter, and then whether what they're proposing really is financially feasible. So now zooming in on the proposal's presentation, I think the goals that we have are pretty simple. We want to make sure that everyone really sees and understands the proposal. So the opportunity to actually let the development teams present them in their own words, and if people have, if the clarifications are needed, be able to receive those. We want to see how the development teams respond to community feedback, and so getting that feedback and then asking the development teams to really sit down and be thoughtful and sharpen their pencils and give the city a response is a really important piece of evaluating what kind of partner each team would be. And then, of course, to make sure that that we have a really robust set of community feedback and thoughts for the evaluation panel to consider when they're actually scoring the proposals. So in terms of the format, we're proposing to do it a little bit differently, that it's really kind of a community forum, not the standard CAC meeting, that you know, we want to make sure that everyone who wants to provide feedback has a chance to do it, and we want to take it all into account and ask the developers to take it all into account. So we're not going to be asking the CAC for like an endorsement or a recommendation. We want to kind of take everything and put it in the hopper and see how the developers respond. And what we're generally envisioning is that each of the developers would take turns presenting the proposal, fielding clarifying questions, and then having public comment, both verbally and providing comment cards for people who feel more comfortable doing their comments in writing or maybe don't get a chance to say everything that they want to say and want to make sure that there's a written record. And then, so what we envision having afterwards is, well, I'm sorry. The proposal will be posted on, the proposals will be posted online for people who aren't able to make it or who want to kind of mull them over more. We'll continue to accept written comments for a period of time, and then after the deadline for those comments, we'll submit all of the comments to the evaluation panelists to start kind of processing and reviewing, and also to the proposers, to the development team, so that they can write those response memos. And so, you know, the panel will read the proposal, the response memos, the comments, take them into consideration, do the scoring, and we'll end up with, hopefully, our recommended developer. But those comments are, we're hoping, gonna continue to be kind of a resource and a set of guidance for that developer once they get on board. So it's a starting place, so they'll hit the ground running, having received a lot of feedback already. So I'm going to pass it over to Jeremy to talk about the outreach piece, getting ready for this big community forum.
So if for folks who are here in December, I believe, the one that was the CAC meeting in November, sorry, the CAC meeting that was in Reardon High School, this somewhat similar content summarizes some of the input that we heard, that we really need to do a better job of reaching other communities, in particular the ones that are on the slide. So what we heard, and it doesn't mean we haven't heard everything, this part of tonight's conversation is making sure we hear more from folks who weren't there in November or people we might have missed. But we did hear we need to reach out to City College, make sure residents of Avalon, right over here on Ocean Avenue and the 1100 Ocean Avenue project, make sure that they're involved. Non-English speakers, there was, there's definitely a need and acknowledged need to make sure that they're included, not only in receiving information, but in actually participating also. That goes for everyone here, or everything on the list. Folks who can't make it to evening meetings is a concern. Younger people, residents of the OMI neighborhoods, and people who don't have internet access.
We can add, and we'll be able to add to this.
We will add to these. So what we brought, and we can hand these out now. But you can also verbalize your answers. We'll have little cards or pieces of paper for people to add to this list of communities or groups that we need to reach out to better. And the second question is asking for suggestions on how to ensure their participation better. So those questions will be up on the board in a minute also.
That's true.
But if you don't have time to wait for public comment, or if you want to cover your bases, we encourage you to write those slips of paper, answer the questions on the papers. So that's a quick summary of some of what we heard in November. And we have a variety, again, there's no one silver bullet. We have to just cover our bases with a variety of techniques for outreach and participation. And so many of you might be on our mailing list. We will continue the email list. The planning department also has a list of neighborhood groups. It's sort of the official list. So whenever there's a large project in certain neighborhoods, those groups get notified. If your group is not on that list already, I would encourage you to go to the planning website and just search for neighborhood groups. But regardless, we will mail and email all of those groups. And yes.
What about the Ingleside Excelsior Light, the local paper?
It's on our list. It might not be explicitly on here, but it's definitely on our list of announcements to make. And especially with this June meeting, we're going to do a physical mailing. We've done one before. We'll make sure we hit more neighborhoods. It'll be in Spanish and Chinese, and it will just be a basic announcement about the workshop, and there will be more information online, but we'll just make sure we get the main point out there in the mail. And I think a lot of what we can do is make sure all the material is out there, whether it's physical on bulletin boards or digital, and just keep asking all our contacts, and this is where we're going to ask the CAC to help out, is to spread the word, right? So if you're on a parent email newsletter, or you're a parent, or you're a teacher, or you're working in a school, post the flyer on the bulletin board, send it to your listserv. Maurice is now on Nextdoor, a lot of us are on Nextdoor, we can make sure that the word gets out like that. So we will be more systematic sort of requests about getting the word out in those ways. We will do our part as well. So it's always, the announcements are always at the main library. We'll make sure the Ingleside Library has a flyer up, and we can
reach out to local establishments, property managers of the building here, et cetera. But the main thing we want to make sure is that that information is out there and that the folks who are in the room here today feel that they have what they need to get the word out as well. Okay, so the second piece is ensuring accessibility and participation. So the multilingual part is a big part of that. We're working on not just translating flyers, but having interpreters at the meeting as well. And for folks who can't come on a Saturday, which we hope will broaden the reach because it's a weekend, we will make sure that the equivalent or flyers and materials are online, as Emily mentioned. Yes. So, and then this is just sort of the same information, but it's cutting it a different way to make sure that we're covering our bases with these populations or these groups that we were asked to reach out to better. And so if we hear more groups tonight, we can make sure that our tactics and techniques address their needs. So with City College, about a year ago, we had an FAQ sheet that I handed out at a few City College meetings. We can update that, or we can just make sure our basic flyer is available to our City College partners, and I'm going to a trustees meeting. City staff often go to different City College meetings. We'll make sure to announce it there. Again, with the residents nearby buildings, they will be part of a mass mailing. We'll make sure that multiple language flyers are available. And yeah, we could really, you know, there's a lot of newsletters out there that the city can put a mass mailing out there, for example, on Nextdoor, a mass announcement on Nextdoor, but it's really good, you get the bang for your buck when citizens or residents in the neighborhood are actually, so we would ask for your support in amplifying the things we post on the web or to newsletters that we are aware of. And then schools, Christy, maybe we can check in about a good way just to get it out there at LIC or in some of our weird or folks at other schools we can just talk to directly. Yeah, so okay, so this is basically what I just said. We're gonna ask for your help. So this is a team effort basically. So what we'll make sure that the materials are out there in a timely fashion, and then just please send it to your contacts. And also, it doesn't have to be just digital. I know there's a lot of neighborhood meetings. We just encourage you to make the announcement. And in particular, with neighborhood groups that might not be here tonight or not here typically, we want to make sure you have the material and information you need to just make a verbal announcement or to tell a neighbor who might not be on email or doesn't have the means to access the internet. So these are the same two questions that are on the slips of paper that you have now. You can answer now, you can answer later, just before we leave tonight. We'd encourage you to answer and give them to one of the city staff here on the table on the right, or leave it here. But we're also happy to entertain a conversation.
Sorry, I just want to clarify, the meeting date has not been scheduled yet. It'll be shortly after the June 2nd due date for the proposals, but we're still working on figuring out location options and finding the best one. We're hoping to pin it down in the next couple weeks and let everyone know. And also feel free, if you want to put actual email addresses on the sheet, we can go ahead and add those to our list right away.
So I think, thank you, this is a very great foundational start, and I really look forward to hearing from you. So we're going to take a break now, and is it 10 or 15 minutes?
Us.
Do you want 10 or 15 minutes for your break?
Are we going to like 9? How long are we
going to? I think we're probably going to 8:30.
Yeah, so 10 minutes.
10 minutes? Okay, so let's come back, and it's 7:30-ish. Okay? Thanks.
Just the messenger.
Happy to take it. Thank you very much.
Oh, yeah. The one that was on the
So, we're going to first turn, are we back on phone?
Yes.
Great. So, we're going to begin first by turning to members of CAP to provide feedback, and then we'll open it up to public comment. And thank you. I know we've already gotten a ton of papers back. That's fantastic. And keep them coming, and we're so happy to have your input. So let's see. I'm going to pass. Hey, Richard, can I put you on the spot and have you start with any feedback?
I wanted to add one thing that is a little bit hard to outreach to, and that is future faculty at City College, because we're looking at, well, at least I've included this quite a few times, looking at faculty housing, and the reason for faculty housing is not just because faculty need housing, but also our faculty are nearing retirement, a large number of them. And if we want to compete with the rest of the state, we need to have some kind of faculty housing, just as an equity issue. Because there's no way that they can afford housing on any salary that we give them right now, that we could afford to give them. So when I was looking at all of the outreach, I think it's great, but I was thinking, how do we get this constituency that doesn't even exist yet? You know, so that's one thing, you know, that I was thinking of. But I do really appreciate the outreach, and I think the local newspaper would be good, and going through the neighborhood associations.
Bridget.
I wonder if there is a source of where you get a lot of your faculty from. Like, are there particular campuses that a lot of your faculty come from? Or concentration that might be a way to, I don't know, just to offer that. Yeah.
That's a good idea. I might reach out to Linda De Silva. She's in the audience, and talk about how they work that out at in the community college housing that they prepared in San Mateo. So I'm not sure how to address that. I'm just saying that's an important constituency, something that is really important to City College.
Be great to live in Linda.
I was just thinking that it would be nice, I don't know how you would pick businesses, but to have certain businesses in the neighborhood that really work to promote this meeting. So whether it's having like a set station by their entry or their door or something, but just that I walk around to be able to know, oh wow, this meeting is happening and that the businesses are promoting it.
Okay, well, first of all, this is a good start here in terms of our process. But I'm just wondering if there's a way that you can build more of a crescendo of community input rather than putting all your marbles into trying to have a big day on Saturday, have three developers. There's a tiring component to this. You hear the first one, they get the barrage of questions. By 2 in the afternoon, everybody's looking for their brownies and coffee and they want to go home. I'm just wondering if you could start with maybe some pre-meetings, or there's a packet of literature that could be given to the Ocean Avenue Association or the City College Trustees or the Westwood Park Association, where you can have a beginning point to allow some comments with a future focus of getting to a big community meeting. So you're building interest at the same time. You're already getting a sense of what the commonalities of some of the input will be. And by the time you have the large meeting, people are a little bit more prepped. There's a lot more interest that's been generated. And it kind of builds a pyramid in terms of getting, I mean, theoretically, you build a pyramid where you're building interest in commentary. It involves more time, but we spent 16 meetings just going over the parameters. And these are just parameters that are, you know, been embodied into an RFP, but this is the payoff here. I mean, this is what we've been going to meetings for a year to see what the development community is going to do. and I would like to have the broadest community input in as focused a manner as possible, so that when you get to the end of that process, you know you've done a credible job of trying to get as complete of input as possible. So I don't have the answers here, but my thought is, again, building a wave and a crescendo of input from these various smaller groups, and then culminating. And again, I'm not even sure if it's one grand day for my opening comments about the tiring aspect of listening to these proposals one after another in one day. Maybe it has to be more than one day. But again, here we are. This is what we've been waiting for. I think we need to flush it out. Thanks.
Yeah, good job on that framework. I think it's a wonderful start, very well thought out. Offer food and drink at this June meeting, make the developers pay. I don't know, I think three in one day is probably preferable than three separate. I like the tension and the process and how they react to the community engagement on that day. It'll be a long day, it'll be a very interesting day. That's a meeting not to be missed.
So I'm going to make my comments at the end, but I'm going to read Michael Aaron's comments and can't leave with us today. At a time, and this has already been submitted to, it's already with Philip. At a time when we all agreed that we would not have a March meeting, I set a trip to Washington, D.C., and I will be in the air at the time of the newly scheduled meeting. With penalties for rescheduled flights, I could not either call into this meeting or be present. The chair of the CAC has therefore agreed to read my statement on some of the points I would like to make as a CAC member about the topic of the March 13th meeting. The topic is published to Outreach and Public Review of the Developer. I also want to thank the chair of the CAC for talking to me about the March 13th CAC meeting concerning discussions that may take place on this topic at that meeting. As I understand it, the city may suggest that we have a public meeting where all members of the public, including the CAC members, will be able to make comments to the developer and ask the developer questions about their response to their request for proposal. I understand that it's likely that there will be three developers selected for this process, and the meeting would most likely take place in June. During my first conversation with the chair of the CAC, there was uncertainty as to whether there would be a subsequent meeting of the CAC to discuss the responses to the RFP, and the chair said the matter may simply then be presented to the evaluation committee for a final decision. I objected, saying we urgently need a meeting on public notice of the CAC, and it should be sometime after the meeting with the developers to give everyone time to analyze and research the responses of the developers. In my second conversation with the chair, she said there will be a CAC meeting, but said it may be the same day we talk to the developers when matters are fresh in our minds. I again urge that the CAC meeting be sometime after a meeting with the developers to give us the time to analyze the responses. I strongly feel that the CAC should have at least a few days to digest the meeting with the three developers and then have a formal meeting on a published date after the meeting with the developers. The Administrative Code, Section 5.17-2E, provides that the purpose of the CAC is to provide a community voice and function as a central clearinghouse for the community input in the process as the city considers its options for development of the site. Moreover, at the inaugural meeting of the CAC held on August 26, 2015, the city handed out a timeline that included CAC meetings to do two at a later date to the following, advising on development program and design. While the chair of the CAC is a city member of the evaluation committee, the only way that the entire CAC can fulfill its responsibilities under role number two is to meet after its members have met the three developers and then give our comments to the chair to be hopefully followed as advice of the CAC. Otherwise, the chair will sit on the evaluation committee with no guidance from the CAC. The parameters that we approved were sent to the RFQ respondent with a letter dated September 9, 2016 from the CAC chair. That letter was a crucial part of the parameters that the CAC approved. It contained a number of factors that we wanted the developer to address, including transportation solutions and parking solutions for the displaced parking. I understand the CCSF trustees are now in the final stages of approving the Art Center for the parking lot, and this even heightens the need to have the developer address these solutions. The CAC needs to discuss the responses of the developers to these priorities addressed in the September 9th, 2016 letter to the RFQ respondents. And due to the importance of this CAC meeting, we need some time after a meeting with the developers to research our comments based on their answers. At our meeting at Burden High School on November 14, 2016, many of us made clear our views that many of these issues need to be addressed by the CAC before a developer is selected. I agree with the comments of Robert Wilbauer on that date contained in the minutes that the work we are doing has not even started. As he stated at that time, we have a long list of wants in terms of what we want to see, but it's a very abstract notion as to what that's going to look like when we actually have a proposal in front of us. As he said then, we have to look at how all of these development parameters fit in the real deal that is put before us. It is the CAC and not the evaluation committee that is tasked by the administrative code on being the voice of the community. I therefore think that this meeting with the three developers, we need a subsequent official meeting of the CAC that is noticed fully to the public. At that public meeting, the CAC can fulfill the most important function for which it was formed, to listen to public comment about the meetings with the developers, the response to the FRP, and then have the CAC members themselves discuss the matter and give the guidance to its chair, who sits on the evaluation committee and should be advancing our comments and concerns as a voice of the community. And Supervisor Norman was copied on this memo. Thank you.
I'm basically going to repeat what everybody else has said. This is the meeting that's coming up is going to be where the rubber begins to hit the road. We've been very abstract and ethereal about in terms of the parameters. We've been looking at, you know, how much open space we want, height limits, and just general urban design ideas. But when we actually see drawings and we actually hear the developers say how many units they want to build and how many of each kind of unit they want to build, that's when we're going to start seeing exactly how this is going to take shape. And how much open space will there, what's it going to look like? And where is it going to be under the property? And we talked about how open space will buffer the space between the housing and Westwood Park, but we don't actually know what it's going to look like. And this is the meeting where we're going to see it, and it's going to be a lot to digest, especially from three developers with three different visions for the pit here, or the reservoir, I should call it. So I think we're going to have to follow it up with more than one meeting. It took us 16 meetings to get the parameters, and now we're going to be dealing with real nuts and bolts. And once this meeting will be an advertisement to the neighborhood of what could happen. But what we actually have to really focus on over the next year or so, I guess, will be meetings where we actually discuss how many units they're going to be and how many cars are going to be coming in and out and how much parking there really will be. And are we really going to share the parking, and in what way is it going to happen? So we're not going to deal with all of that at this next meeting, but it will be a great opportunity to show it to the neighborhood and to everybody. So I'm looking forward to it.
Thank you, John. So I have a couple of comments. First off, for City College, it's complicated because I think because the meetings. So first off, June is dodgy. That's the first thing I want to say. June is hard. And I know we tried to get it so that it would happen before Memorial Day, and because it took a time with getting the general manager from PUC's approval, that we really had intended to have the meeting happen in May so that it would be when school was still in session and before holidays started and people started to travel. So just for everybody to hear that was the original intention. And it was PUC took a little longer to get their approval, and so that pushed the timetable back. So given that that's the fact, I think we're going to have to really think strategically about what does it mean to do this meeting in June. And I think, Robert, your point about, you know, we have to, like, it's like when you're in the 26-mile of the marathon in New York and you enter into the park and the last 0.5 mile is literally uphill. I don't know if you know this, if anybody's ever run this. So that last half mile is really hard. I kind of feel like we're kind of at that spot, that we've got to really push because we've got to do a really good job because this is where it's the road. So thinking about how we do these meetings, I think we need to put some more thought into it. The second thing is I think we need to make sure that we have good representation from the SFPUC at this meeting so they actually are in the audience, because I think that would help them be more proactive in what they hear about the developers, and I think it's a good educational piece to give them so they're going to be able to hear in advance, and they're going to hear everything that the community is going to hear. A third thing I think is really important is about is the marketing, and I use marketing with a small m, of this event, because I can be, you know, as you were just talking, John, I just had this vision of people making flyers with 5,000 story buildings and it's coming, and you know, and I think we need to do a really good job of controlling the message, and I didn't mean controlling in the very best of ways, about keeping it honest, keeping it clear, here's exactly how it's going to work, and really reinforcing that message over and over again, because if we don't, it will actually could damage the process. My fourth comment is, how do we think about the proxy of today's current City College students to be representative of future students? Because we need to use, we need student input. And I don't know what City College's Twitter handle is or what's the social media, but we don't have anything really about social media on the list, and I think that's gonna be important as well. And I think that we really need to be working together collectively around this to make sure that the process really meets the needs. I dare say it, but I think we probably are gonna need more than one session to make this happen, because it's gonna be a lot. And I'm kind of looking at my colleagues to say it's gonna require a lot on our part to be able to participate and be able to be fully present for if we did multiple sessions, but I think we owe it to the community to do what makes most sense to make sure that we've, you know, that you're right, that this is, we've put the cakes in the oven and they're gonna come out of the oven, and we just need to make sure we've got them in the oven long enough. So. And I think because June being so dodgy in terms of when people are off, we've got to think about this more comprehensively. So with that, I'd love to open it up to public comment. And I just can, yeah, sure. And then can I just ask, did people raise your hand if you turned in a piece of paper? Did you turn in a piece of paper?
Where are two?
One or two?
Where?
Up here.
Oh, yeah, it is. Okay, great. Thank you all in advance for doing that. Okay, so let me pass it back to Christine.
I just wanted to add for schools, so graduations do take place those first two weekends in June, so try to avoid those because you will lose many educators. And the second thing is with translation, if it is at all possible to have folks be able to wear headphones where they're getting translated, because it's just really uncomfortable to have to like turn, and so if we do have the resources to do that, I would recommend that.
So let's open it up to Supervisor Weave, you wanna come up first, and then we'll go to public comment.
Good evening. Thanks for being here and continuing the process. I just want to respond a little bit with the outreach and maybe the format of the meeting itself.
This is for public.
Is it okay?
Just hold on a second.
I guess in terms of outreach, you know, my office could be helpful in this. One of the things that we can do jointly with city staff and maybe some of you is once in a while we have a press briefing, not a press conference, where we gather the media and sort of let them know what's going on, and they could actually, you know, it's an inexpensive way to get the word out. They put stories in their paper and so forth, and in regards to the ethnic media, they're really good about covering this stuff. I also could be getting on a talk show in Chinese to cover this, and if somebody could get on a talk show on a Spanish-speaking station, that would be really useful. In regards to the teachers, as you know, June, a lot of them do take off, but some of them will be around. And one way, I think, there's many ways to reach them, but one way is to contact AFT 2121, which is the union, and have them send out a blast out an alert to the teachers. Same with the student body here. They have a student newspaper. You get a reporter to cover this or contact them and maybe have a story. The magazine that they have comes, Bridget, do you know? The City College Magazine, is it once every semester?
Yes.
Yeah.
Once every semester, so I think they have it at the end of the semester, so it would be perfect timing to put a story in there. Are you with them?
I represent the paper.
Oh, good. Oh, for the paper, but do you know the magazine?
Yes, we work with them.
Okay. So they're pretty good about covering a story, if, especially when it's really interesting like this one. And then in regards to PUC, I think we should have a formal request from city staff or from this CAC to the PUC commissioners to invite them all to come. They should have interest. I would think that they would want to come. And then in regards to the meeting itself, I favor having all three presentations, but what I do think is that this is really an important issue for the community, and there's going to be, you know, whatever date you have it on, a lot of people won't be able to make it because they're doing something else, vacation, whatever. So I recommend that we do this meeting at least twice so that for people that are going to miss it, you know, it's not like they only have one shot at this. And I think it's that important. I mean, other meetings you may not want to do that, but this one I think we should. So those are the things I want to just point out that maybe we want to consider. Thank you.
Thank you, Supervisor Yee. And now we'll open it up to public comment, please.
Kate Pavetti, in addition to although I indicated on my sheet, is I think it's important for us to include the OMI NIA, which is the Neighbors in Action. They have a newsletter that goes out to the OMI, as well as Dorado Terrace and Belvoir Terrace or other neighborhood groups. I want to underscore the effectiveness of multilingual postcards, particularly at some of our Asian-owned businesses and other business as well, the general businesses. And as far as youth, the Ocean Isle House has become a real, you don't need to put the ocean, but it's not an advertisement for particular businesses, but I'm trying to say that they do work. The postcards work, and having the actual multilingual posters on the storefront windows is an important aspect of being able to recruit individuals coming to the meeting and to notify everybody. I also wanted to say that with regard to having a meeting only on Saturday, if you're looking at having some of the merchants who really are impacted by this development come, or others that perhaps work on Saturday, and that's that there needs to be I'd like to underscore the need for an alternate day. But as I say, for the outreach, I found that I think in all of our events that we've been trying to reach out to individuals, utilizing even the all the different storefronts, and as well as the counters, putting the postcards on the counters, people grab that information, and having it in multilingual is a very important aspect. So, and I wanted to underscore that is a wonderful plan. And I noted that many of those, the components of your plan, we've definitely reflected the comments that were made in November. Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Christopher Campbell, and I'd like to kind of follow up a bit with Supervisor Yee had said. I think one thing that's really helpful for me in any of the meetings that I've missed is if there's an opportunity for it to be on video. And then someone could have the opportunity, if they weren't able to make either one, if there's two different presentations, that it could be viewed later. And then I've spoken a number of different times about what I'll talk about now, but I know that one of the main components of what the discussions have been is about housing, and we've talked about safety and connectivity, transportation, mass transit, bike access, pedestrians, and overall livability of the area. I think we're at an important point that we need to think about our park space. And I know that we've talked about why the park space is as limited as it is, but we will never be able to build another park again. Housing is extremely important. From the beginning of the meetings that we've had, when we used to have the boards up and we were putting dots on what was most important, there were many people like myself who would prefer to have 100% park space here. I actually, out of all transparency, said 100% because I knew that it would never be 100% because the issue that we're talking about is about housing. But I think now that we've gotten down to at least an acre and a half, that is such a small amount of space. If we're looking at having areas that are going to supply us with picnicking opportunities, birding.
Can I?
Sure.
I don't want to cut you off. We were going to have general comment where
I thought.
So right now, I'm sorry, let me be very clear. The comments that we're doing right now are specifically to give feedback to what we just did.
Right.
So come back up.
Okay, I'll come back up.
Thanks. Thank you.
Hi. I just want to riff off what Lisa said on the topic of controlling and managing the message. Actually, I think the city team has done a very good job in terms of managing and controlling the message. Basically, the whole idea behind the public land for housing idea is you're using public land for the public good. And what I see is that there's actually, hate to say, kind of like false advertising and bait and switch involved in what you've been doing. And how is that? We're talking about affordable housing. Hey, I love affordable housing. Permanently affordable housing.
Alvin, is what do you have feedback about outreach?
It had to do with your what you made a comment on.
Okay, because if this is really about right now, we're really trying to get feedback on what we can add. If it's a
okay, I'll do that then.
Yeah.
Okay, I can improvise. Okay, outreach. There's two aspects to outreach. One is getting a whole bunch of a list of names and organizations who you can say have been participating or have been attending these outreach sessions. The more important thing is when you get this input from the public, what do you do with it? Okay, I'll give a couple of examples. One, Westwood Park. They did a massive survey of their neighborhood and just about everybody says, hey, we want replacement parking for the students. Okay, another example. Everybody says, hey, we want City College, City College's interests to be protected. If you look at the development parameters, when it talks about City College interests, all it is talking about during the construction period.
Alvin, we're at time.
Okay.
Thank you. And Alvin, I just to be very clear, that the process for the feedback is going to be that the feedback is going to be collected, and all the feedback that is collected, then each developer will have a chance to write a memo in response to the feedback that's collected. Thank you.
Hi. With regard to outreach, my name is Otto Pippinger. I represent the City College Guardsmen.
We're glad you're here.
Oh, thanks. So we get print circulation of about 1,000 readerships, and that's just, not just on campus, but at local libraries, coffee shops, things like that. And about the same online. And so if there's any way we can help with outreach, please talk to me after the meeting. Thanks.
Thank you.
Hi, Laura Fry. I just wanted to point out that the meeting might be huge. And wherever it's met, it should be someplace that can, you know, walls can be open or whatever, tons of people show up. And then the other thing is somebody told me that there's such a thing as a story pole. And that you can put it on the ground and it shows the height of a building. And I don't know if this exists. But if it does
a story pole.
If it does exist, they should be at the meetings of the developers so that they can put a pole in the ground and say, that's how tall the building is going to be.
Thank you.
Hi, Chris Hansen. So I thought of one that I didn't put on the card, and that's, has anyone phoned the motorcycle school that uses the parking lot? They've been doing that for a long, long time on the weekends. And because the meeting is likely to happen in June, I think as soon as you guys know a date, if you could leaflet the cars so that the students who park there before the semester is over will have an idea at least where to maybe watch a video. And then in this RFQ process and the RFP, when will the land actually be declared surplus? Because as far as I know, it's only been declared potentially surplus. It hasn't officially been declared surplus land, and there is a state mandated period when city surplus land has to be offered in good faith to other city agencies that might express an interest, such as City College.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Good evening. Steve Martin Pinto, president of the Sunnyside Neighborhood Association. Just want to make sure that we're reaching out to the fire and EMS and police services as well, because the fire station down here on Ocean Avenue, I guarantee you a lot of them don't even know about this project, and this is going to affect their call volume significantly. So let's make sure we, like to make sure we engage the fire chief on this, as well as the division chiefs as well. Thank you.
Hello, Corey Smith. A couple of different places I think will be specific. You were talking about social media. You can run paid social media ads on Facebook targeted for specific zip codes. So the ad would only run for people that live in neighborhoods right around here, would be one way to do it. Another way to get a very inexpensive video out there for live video formatting, Facebook also actually does that. I realize you don't have to touch everybody, not everybody has Facebook, but it's a real quick and easy way to go back. And then really, really agree with the supervisor's comment regarding the newspaper. Get this in the Examiner, get this in the Chronicle, get a lot of eyes on it that way. Thank you.
Aaron Goodman, I just wanted to mention the bi-county aspect of it. We have umbrella organizations that deal with citywide issues, such as the West of Twin Peaks Central Council, CSFN, Coalition of San Francisco Neighborhoods. They should be at least notified of it so they can inform their constituency. But then, of course, the other issue is bi-county. We're on the southern portion of the city. You know, you have on the east side, Brisbane is one area that's affected, and the other side, Daly City, on the south side. So it would be good to outreach to the Board of Supervisors from each of those counties to make sure they're aware of the project and its impacts, so that at least if they do have something they want to submit. There's also, of course, the federal agencies for such larger projects. When it comes down to the Army Corps of Engineers are making sure that other municipality groups such as Caltrans are at least aware of what's going on. So.
I actually wrote this, but I wanted to say it verbally. This is Jennifer. We have something that we have at least 9 preschools in Sunnyside, so I'm thinking the parents of those preschoolers, the teachers, we have 2 elementary schools, and we have a lot of daycare centers, and that would be really great to cover those people. They'll be affected. Thank you.
Hi, Richard Goldman. I'm the lead of Sunnyside Next Door, and I actually wrote this too, but I haven't turned it in yet. The Sunnyside Neighborhood Association is about 10% of Sunnyside, 220 people out of 2,400 households. Sunnyside Next Door currently has 1,687 members, almost 67%. So I know SF Planning has a presence on Next Door, and an announce-only presence will be really important to present the next meetings. And the leads from Sunnyside Next Door, Maurice is a lead, I am as well, can amplify, and any other members can amplify those announcements and reach many, many more people. And I would request that all public meetings from here on be announced, since they're all going to be important, not just the CAC meetings.
Ken Preiser. This questionnaire should have been handed out months ago at the very beginning of this process. To me, it is just an indication of the disingenuousness of your supposed sincerity. Now that you have all the parameters set up, now you're going to ask people to input. That's, you're going about this the wrong way.
Okay. So I guess that's, does anybody have anything to add from, thank you for what Jeremy would have. So let's now move to general comments, just general public comments.
I know we finally said it, but I just...
Well, hold on 1 second. We've got Jeremy's got something he wants to share.
Yeah, just want to keep in mind, because there were comments around specific things like parks and heights, that this meeting, we're not going to, I just want to set expectations that this meeting is focused on the proposals and that we see and selecting a developer. So we're not going to get a chance to get to the nitty gritty of this meeting, but as John and Robert and others have mentioned, this is a long process, this is the beginning. So there will be an opportunity to really hone in on some of the more specific transportation, open space, and urban design issues in the future. But there's only so much we can do in one day. This time, we're focusing on selecting the developer. And so the flyers, we will look to the CAC for, you know, for messaging that when we have the flyer drafts and a date.
So there's quite a bit of feedback. This is on, right? You can hear me.
Yeah.
So there's quite a bit of feedback that we've collected. So I think we'll get back to you as quickly as we can around next steps and figuring out the timing. And I think this issue around the merchants not being available on Saturdays, and there's stuff that we've got to figure out. Can we do video? There's a lot of great ideas, and thank you. And I just want to say that the process of doing community outreach is not an easy thing to do. And I feel like we're trying our very best to do our very best. And I'm sorry if people feel this disingenuous. I very sincerely, when we had the meeting at Reardon High School, asked everyone to please provide their feedback, some of which was pretty brutal. But we heard it because we are trying to be open and transparent about how we're doing what we're doing. And the process of today of engaging your feedback is really about getting ready for the next phase. And the next phase is really important. And frankly, in some regard, catalyzing the community around the proposal from the developer, it becomes much more real. And then we will have a much larger net so that we can actually, once the developer is selected, a large part of what of the selection, a chunk of the selection criteria in the RFQ was about how did the developer work on previous projects with the community. And I look very, very seriously at that element because of knowing what we've been through together collectively so far and how we want to move forward together. So I would say, you know, think of this as the as a catapulting us to the next step and really using this process to, so upon selecting the developer, that we'll have a much higher level of community engagement. And that when we do the presentations, to please make sure that that you come and that you give your feedback, and we'll see. And I think one of the things we'll all be looking for is to see how do the developers hear what you have to say when you give feedback on the day of, because that's going to tell us a lot about the kind of relationship they're going to have with the community. And we know we can't build anything unless we pick somebody who's going to be a really good partner. So with that, let me just transition us now to general comments. And so my apologies to the people that I cut off. So for those who have general comments, if you could please come on up and we'll take general comments.
I'm Richard Goldman again, very quickly. This is the first meeting that I've come to on the Bumble project outside of my neighborhood. And I want to thank the CAC for the work that you're doing. And I read the 94-page RFP over the weekend, and I thank you for doing such a great job. I think planning did an outstanding job putting the parameters together there, so that's all I wanted to say.
Hello, Chris Hansen. So when Jeff Tomlin was here last time, he talked quite a bit about Santa Monica Community College and mentioned that as a successful TDM program. So I did a little research on that, and I'm going to walk around real quick. I'm sorry I don't have papers for everybody, but I went to the Board of Governors data mart, and I looked up just some numbers, and what I found out, sorry, is that I got some information and compared them with City College, and 64% of their student population is 24 years old and younger. So to me, that likely says that they're most likely still living with mom and dad, and probably not necessarily trying to get to work in a half hour so that they don't lose their house. So I am going to keep doing some research on this. There's a state number to factor in enrollment drops to. The other thing that I saw that was pretty clear is their enrollment is not very robust, at least not the last couple of years. So, I guess that's it. So more will come. Thank you.
Hello again, Christopher Campbell, back to talk about parks. And one of the things that Jeremy, you had brought up is how we prioritize and rank what we're interested in. So again, I think as a resident, I've been here for now almost 20 years in the neighborhood. I love parks, I love exercise, and it's one of the backbones of
our communities. And there really is no good park space here. Walking anywhere, you can walk here to City College, but it's not really a park, and it's not designed for us to use it for a variety of different things. We can picnic there, which is, I think, something that would be very good in the park space that we have set up. But biking, running, throwing your ball, playing with your children, walking your dogs, an acre and a half, that I was trying to come up with something that's nearby, Lakeview Ashton, right up the top of the hill, over here at Ingleside, is a half an acre in size. So it's three times that very small rock outcrop. It's a very small space of land, and if we're gonna have a children's play area there, if there's gonna be bike parking, paths, and what have you, we're really gonna limit the amount of green space that we have. We're gonna limit the opportunities that we have for bird watching. I go to the reservoir regularly. I know many people don't think much of it. There are tremendous views of the ocean from there. You can see a number of different birds there. There's a tremendous amount of wildlife there. We have hawks that you can see regularly, house finches, white-crowned, variety of different birds, hummingbirds, other wildlife that's there as well. I think these are opportunities now that we have to help to solidify our very robust rec park system that we have here. And I don't think we should let the opportunity go by only having an acre and a half. So again, I would prefer that it's half park, and I know that that causes problems if we're making the number of housing units the number one component here, but I think the number one thing should be livability here. We should build for people to come and live here. We should build for the university here and for other lower income families, but the park, I think, is very important as well.
Thank you very much. Please, no clapping.
Oh, sorry.
Corey Smith on behalf of the San Francisco Housing Action Coalition. We're a member-funded nonprofit. We're looking up and down the development teams that have been chosen for this final stage. The majority of them are members of ours, and we do have at least one member on every single team. So I've worked with a number of these folks in a number of different capacities all over the city, and I can just, from the bottom of my heart, say these are good, good people. I know the people that are going to be involved in this are all community-focused and community-driven developers. In any way that we can help facilitate a conversation, I promise not to tip a scale in any way towards anybody, but please let me know how I can be useful in any way. And like I said, you are in fantastic hands, I promise you that. Thank you.
Madeline Mueller, three things. A student said at some point in this situation, please tell people that besides getting to school, just getting here on time and such, some of the students are very concerned, she was at least, with when she had to carry things. There are a lot of CTE programs, vocational programs, music, and they schlep their instruments. It's very hard, and especially on certain rainy days, to take a bike and have your cello on your back. So a lot of the transportation, she says, you know, let people know it, and it's true, it hadn't come up in surveys. Not just getting here on time, getting here cheaply, but when you have to carry stuff. And she said, there are so many students in so many majors, so many areas of emphasis, especially vocational, where they really have to carry stuff, and that means some kind of wheels.
Please speak into the mic.
Okay, I'll have to put it down a little lower.
Much better.
I don't have to repeat all that, I hope. The other thing is that I just want you all to know that, you know, City College has its accreditation back. Yay! For 7 years, we're out from under a great cloud. That, along with Prop W and the Free College, and then Prop B, which had the most votes of anything on the last election, over 200,000 votes, specifically to support City College. Our community is this city. It's real. It has political cloud, and we're going to have a whole bunch more students coming back in with the accreditation cloud away and the W, Prop W, Free City. And then the Performing Arts Center is getting juiced up again. And they're the community, and I didn't put it on my paper, but I should. We've been waiting 5 years, we being the arts community, to help come in and support an auditorium. There isn't one functioning between Civic Center and San Mateo. We have all these hundreds of thousands of people in this part of the city that have no focus for the performing arts. So there are very many high names, I'll drop names. Danny Glover's gonna come in and help us, and Carlos Santana, and John Adams, and we have a long list. So that will be a way too that community should be involved, because there's a whole future of the arts sitting right here.
Great, thank you very much.
Okay, moving right along. Hopefully I can continue this time. Anyway, back to this idea about false advertising and bait and switch. What this idea, what the Reservoir Project has been promoted as is affordable housing forever, permanently affordable housing. The question that I want all of you, especially the public, to keep in mind is affordable for whom, affordable for how long, okay? Affordable for whom? Affordable is legislatively defined, right? And it's legislatively defined to be, in terms of the reservoir, 33% affordable, okay? Now, then the other aspect, and what that means is that 67% will be unaffordable. And what the city has been promoting is this idea that, oh, the private expensive housing is going to be subsidizing the affordable housing. In fact, that's an inversion of reality. What's really happening is that the low-cost affordable housing is subsidizing the high-cost housing. You are giving public lands over to private developers. Okay. Now, in terms of permanent, what's the definition of permanent? You can correct me if I'm wrong. It's defined, you know, normal language. In perpetuity means forever. Okay. But if you actually read the fine print, in perpetuity is the useful life of the building. Now, who determines what the useful life is? The developer can, you know, I would guess 55 to 75 years, okay? So after that point, what happens to the affordable housing restriction? It no longer exists, okay? So now this public land has been transferred in total 100% to the private developer. And I can give you the example of Chinatown. I brought this up before. If you've read the Hall of, you know, Ironsides, the older folks know about Ironsides. Raymond Burr was in the Hall of Justice right across from Portsmouth Square. Now it's the Hilton Hotel. Same old thing.
Okay. Hello, I'm Theodore from Excelsior. And speaking about box, I think one of the solutions would be to get outside of the box, because part of the problem with the traffic is cars are so unmaneuverable. You have to wait for the car in front of you and can't get around easily. So biking and walking are maneuverable, are nimble. So we should somehow get some more outreach about what's currently available in bicycles. Like, there are so many types of electric bicycles, so many cargo bicycles that take less space and cost way less, that you don't have car payments on the bicycle. So not sure how we're going to get from here to, from where we are now to that, to a state where people use smaller vehicles. But that's gonna be important outreach or something. I keep hearing that cars are safe. I want to push back on that idea that cars are, one of my friends just recently celebrated 2 years of being an amputee because he was driving an SUV and crashed into something. So cars are not safe. Right, so that's about traffic. And then, currently, market rate housing is really expensive because housing is built really slowly around here. So, so additional delays is both for additional expense, which is great for the developer, but maybe not so much for us. Okay, thank you.
Hi, Laura Fry, Westwood Park. Just two things. One was because there seems to be some discrepancy between the City College people and the City Planning Department about the TDM data. Why don't you just hire a City College student to go and t-
take a picture of the parking lot every 2 hours for a couple weeks. You know, and just have tons of pictures. And you can just, you know, I mean, it wouldn't be an exact count, but it would get some sense of, oh, full, half full, three quarters full. You know, I mean, it just seems like with pictures, it would be very easy to get a lot of data. And the other thing is, I brought this up before, and I'm still not clear. I hear the City College people talk about it. I know a lot of people are really interested in having student and teacher housing. But if the RFP is going to a developer and the PUC is selling to the developer, my understanding is no way can that developer provide preferential treatment to students or teachers. That the only way that can happen is for City College to buy some property. So my question is, at this point in the process, is that part of going forward with these developers that we're going to talk about, okay, you're going to only go to buy 12 acres and 5 acres is going to go to City College so they can have some faculty and student housing? Because I don't get how in this part of the process that can even be talked about. Because it looks like the whole parcel is going to the developer, and the developer cannot say student faculty housing. So I'm just unclear about how that can all work.
Good evening, I'm Jonathan Randolph from the Ingleside. I agree with Ken's comment from earlier that in retrospect it would have been much better to have more outreach earlier in the process because it's the first few meetings were very chaotic and I imagine that might happen again at the June meetings where everybody has ideas that are, you know, hard to narrow down. And I'd like to bring in the big picture again a little bit. You know, I was listening to the Planning Commission just, you know, in the background meetings. And one of the things that Planning Commissioner Dennis Richards said is that his niece, who's, you know, a young person in San Francisco, says that she feels like there's no future for her anymore in the city. And I get that feeling a lot from the people around me, that this is, because of the high housing costs in San Francisco, that's why we're here to, you know, because of the high housing costs, we have a really severe problem with people who are just starting out, people who are younger, or people who need to move out for any reason, and rent control is not the only, you know, it isn't a solution for the future generations. We need this housing, and that's why we're all here. And it's, you know, it's a very critical need. And, okay, moving along, for the RFP process, I agree with Laura that, Laura Fry, that it would be really good to have some flexibility and, you know, to try to see which developers are receptive to partnering with City College in order to develop faculty and student housing and so forth like that. And I don't know, I'm not sure exactly whether RFP process will allow us to narrow down the developers very easily on that dimension. Thank you.
Steve Martin Pinto, Sunnyside Neighborhood Association President. I'm just wondering, like, what role the developer will have in upgrading the transportation infrastructure nearby, specifically the K-Line. I know, if I'm not mistaken, for the M Oceanview subway project, that project is being partially subsidized by Park Merced. So if they're doing that, could we do the same thing here with our project? Thank you.
Jennifer Hagee from Sunnyside. I just want to thank everybody for the many, many, many months of work and the planning department and everybody on the CAC, because you've really done a fabulous job. I'm not speaking for the SNA now, I'm speaking for myself. I am concerned that there is going to be harm, and that is due to the lack of parking at City College. I don't think that's been resolved, and so I'm still concerned. I really think housing and affordable housing is a huge issue and needs to be dealt with, and our neighborhood really wants a green, open green space, and I advocate that as well, but I'm most concerned about the harm to City College. We have something that works, and without having an answer to that issue, I'm still very concerned about this development. Thank you.
Terry Bernstein, City College. I'd just like to address that a conflict is being set up that some of you know about. There's a new majority here at the Board of Trustees. This brought the Performing Arts Center, the PAC proposal, back to life by passing a resolution last Thursday to proceed with the project. The next deadline, I think, is September for something substantial moving toward an RFQ. There's nearly $50 million in bond. Part of the conflict is that the PAC will call for removing approximately 700 parking places. The lower reservoir, as Jeremy reminded me over a year ago, will be completely gone. There is a push against having replacement parking. So instead of having a concept of a PAC that the developers will have to deal with, there will be a real one, and I don't see that being really faced. Incidentally, the Harris Center, which is a performing arts center in Folsom, by the same architects that designed the PAC here, they didn't have all their funding. There was some 8% that was unfunded when they began. And the Trustee Rizzo facilitated the possibility of community funding. We don't have to wait for state funding. We don't have to wait for a full funding for that project to go ahead. So there needs to be some conversation. And I like that idea that the person said about dedicated housing. I also agree with AJ that the permanently unaffordable housing and the privatization that's envisaged over there is not ideal. People are not also listening to the call for open space.
My name is Hedda Thieme from Westwood Park, and I'm just surprised that we are already scheduling designs for this project when we have not solved the traffic problem. And I'm very disappointed about that.
Aaron Goodman, in terms of the public comments, there is one item which is BART was seeking input. It was in the paper to make sure everybody's aware of that, looking for what kind of input can be given to BART about their station, not just cosmetic upgrades, but also larger infrastructure upgrades, as well as maybe even a replanning of the station. How is that going to interact with all the other developments going on? That's key, so people in the community can all input that way. And the other thing is I appreciate hearing some of the comments all around, because that goes back to some of the original meetings we had about what type of project can be built here, whether it's open space, public pools, what else can be done for the capacity that we're going to see in population? Are these developers the only alternative out there? They do good work, all of them. I've worked with some of them myself. They all do good work out there in terms of the housing created. But is those models the only model? And we mentioned way back when the idea of co-ops and other things that have not really been utilized by the city efficiently to create affordable housing. None of those developers, I think, have shown a co-op development or model. That might be something that could be discussed with them as to what can be done on this site, as well as the other mentioned. Somebody mentioned about City College buying the sites. I worry about expansion of universities only. They have their existing parcels and sites like SF State does. When they start acquiring sites like SF State bought Stonestown and University Park South, they pushed out families. A lot of families were pushed out by it. So there's a lot of needs for housing, whether it's for students, teachers, faculty, families, and the city's trying to address those all. But I think there comes a point also where you have to beware of just allowing City Colleges to buy all the property up in the area. That may actually have a reverse effect in terms of family housing and community housing that's needed. So those all have to be balanced when they actually look at the proposals.
Ken Kreiser, there's 800,000 people live in the city. 10% of that population goes to one of the 11 City College campuses. Of that population, 50% go to this campus. There's roughly 1,000 parking places downhill. Now, I know that attendance right now is low because the economy is good, And thanks to the Board of Trustees, we almost lost our accreditation. That's something Bridget has tried only mildly successfully, getting them to pay attention to what they're supposed to be doing. 1,000 parking places for 40,000 students is not an unreasonable number to have. And again, as other people have mentioned, you folks are really not addressing that.